97.5, 1280 The Zone and the Zone Sports Network. Hans Olsen, Scott Girard. Wayne Cook will join us here in just a moment from the UCLA football broadcast. Looking forward to catching up with him. Getting you ready for UCLA. What do you think of the Bruins this year?
Well, I think that this season is going to tell us so much, man. You know, it's a program that obviously has a lot of pageantry, a lot of pride. Everybody is always hopeful for it, but seem to be a letdown more often than they've been able to really carry that prestige. So we'll see.
Ended the season last year on a two-game losing skid, lost to USC 43-38, then lost to Stanford 48-47. Scored some points, but gave up some points as well. And now joining us on the Smart Rain guest line, Wayne Cook, UCLA sideline reporter, College Sports Now podcast, also on Learfield IMG College. Wayne, how are you?
Hey, Wayne.
Guys, I'm great. I'm listening to you guys coming in, and I'm like, you know, I want to get angry, but you didn't say anything wrong. It's just like, man, I feel like we're doing better than the record. It looked better last year. That's all I can say.
Yeah. Well, let's talk about where your level of optimism is going into this season.
Well, it has to be high, you guys. And remember, and I've said this, there's a lot of coaches out there that are doing a great job that inherited teams that were already good, meaning that the program was established. They walked into a team that was winning 10 or 11 games every year, and they just kept doing it. And so, the Ohio States, the Oklahomas, there's teams out there. But then you look at what happened at UCLA, and in Jim Mora's last few years, UCLA really fell off. You know, they had a couple of 10-win seasons under Hundley, but it kind of started to deteriorate after that. And Chip Kelly came in, and from day one, you guys, he had a plan. He wasn't, you know, he wanted the right type of kids. He wanted to recruit the right people, and it was a struggle. We played a ton of freshmen. We played a ton of sophomores, and we just struggled. And you would see these you know, this glimmer of hope from time to time, and it would be followed up by, you know, just a bad game. And last year, as I told you guys, yeah, it was 3-4 or whatever the heck it ended up being. But, you know, we had a backup quarterback on the road against Oregon, and it's three turnovers, which you can always say that, you know, if this didn't happen, we'd have done better. But I mean, it was a really good game. We had you mentioned the two-game losing streak against USC. They had to go down and win in the last seconds on a last-minute drive. And Stanford, I still can't figure that one out. We were up by 14 late. I don't know how we lost. I still don't know how we lost. So it's just like one of those things that this team definitely needs to learn how to win. And if you keep coming close and losing, it's, you know, we're going to have another turnover. We're going to have, you know, to change things up and go a different direction. And I don't want that. I love what Coach Kelly's doing. I love the type of players he's brought in. Our grades as a school are high. Our athletes, our depth, for the first time we have got, you guys, I'm not kidding, this three deep at a lot of positions, not just one, and then who knows about the back guy. I've got positions I'm looking at, like Mitchell Agudé, who I think is going to be one of the better pass rushers in the conference. And then I look right behind him, and I see a guy like Miles Jackson, who I've been so impressed with out at spring practice. So I'm like, and you see that at a lot of positions. There are guys all over the place with playing time, even in the third string spot. There's guys that have played a lot. So I'm pretty pumped up. I love that we have an experienced quarterback. So, I mean, you can hear it in my voice. I'm optimistic, but I'm a little bit scarred too.
Yeah.
Where is the level of comfort right now for Chip Kelly? Is he on some level of hot seat, or is he comfortable?
You know what? You guys, if you see Chip Kelly sometimes in press interviews, he might seem uncomfortable all the time because he just doesn't seem to like doing that. But when I talk to him and when I get to interview him, because I think we've grown – comfortable with each other, he's awesome. He's so smart. He's so with it, and he's so much more comfortable. When he came to UCLA, I think he was, you know, kind of establishing himself, and I think now in year four, it's his program and the administration and the way he deals with people and just how alumni, you know, being around campus, he just seems very, very comfortable. And I think that he's going to do things his way. And I think that, you know, what he's built, and I think we're going to see it this year. And you guys will talk about this. The problem is the South is deeper than the North, probably for the first time in a long time. I still think Oregon and Washington have a good chance of winning the conference, but I think when I look at the South, I mean, SC could win it. Arizona State can win it. Utah can win it. And yes, UCLA can win it too. I really think we're that good. But that's a tall task because you have to play all those teams. So it's a real, there's a lot of optimism. I don't think Coach Kelly thinks about his job at all. I think he's trying to coach these players. And I think he's put together a great staff. There's experience everywhere, like I said. So, I mean, I think he's going into this year thinking we've got a shot. And you know, he's a one game at a time guy, so I don't want to get ahead of myself either. But he's just really, I think he really likes what they've built.
And I want to be careful about this because last season was just a mess. And so it's hard to take anything from last year and project it into this year. So take this question with a grain of salt. But in the three wins, you hold Cal to 10, Arizona to 10, Arizona State to 18, and then you give up totals of in losses 48 to Colorado and 43 to USC and 48 to Stanford. Where's the concern level for the defense going into the season, and do you feel like that ship has been righted going into this year?
I thought last year, see, it's so weird. You guys probably deal with this too. Like, what is good defense anymore? Like, what is it? I don't really know. I haven't figured it out. The defense is like to hold the team to enough point to a low enough score to where you can win. I mean, there's so much. Even in the SEC, they score a ton of points now. So it's like things have changed quite a bit. If you look at our sack numbers, tackle for loss numbers, and all of those things, we were really, really good last year. And that's something that hasn't happened at UCLA. We had a very aggressive style of football. But when you do that and you don't get to the quarterback, our pass defense was bad. So, and I don't think our pass defensive starters are bad. I just think that they were put in situations. We played a lot more man. We put a lot more pressure. And so there's kind of good and bad that comes with that. I just think they're going to get better, though. I think that the whole group's back. I mean, you look at our returning starters, I believe we have 20. And I'm looking at every single person on our defensive starting lineup, you know, and again, there's a couple of jobs that are still up in the air, but all those guys have started games, every one of them, like lots of games. And the secondary, a lot of those guys have started games too. And so I think they're only going to get better. I mean, if you guys don't know who Quantrez Knight is yet and you haven't paid attention to him, watch him play. Carl Jones, number 35, watch him play. I already mentioned Mitchell Agudé. He's really good. I think Quinton Lake, our free safety, has a chance to be a great free safety. There's a lot of good players on this team. And, you know, I'm a little worried about the defensive front. I like Abonya and Jackson. They've got to prove it to me because we did lose. One of the players we lost was Odigi Zua, who was just a nightmare for opposing teams to block him last year. So we're going to have to find a way to replace him. But I'm optimistic. I really liked the sack numbers, the tackle for loss. We just got to tighten the ship a little bit against the passing game.
Wayne, if I remember your history a little bit, you did play quarterback at UCLA, right?
Yes.
Okay, so when you were there playing quarterback, now you see this name, image, and likeness. How much money do you believe you could have made? And are these athletes in the LA market, because we're watching very closely with BYU, Utah, Utah State here in the Utah market, it's lean. It is very difficult for any of these guys to find any type of NIL money. Are they finding it at UCLA?
I don't know the numbers yet, you guys. I don't know how secretive it's going to be. I don't know. I don't know yet. I'm one of those. I'm 50, you guys. I played quarterback at UCLA in the early 90s. And it's weird because, I mean, I played in the era of Troy Aikman and Tommy Maddox and Cade McNown, and I was kind of in the middle of all that. And so we had a lot of quarterbacks that were big-name people. I just read, I don't know if you guys saw this, but Nick Saban said something along the lines of their quarterback who hasn't played a down yet is pushing seven figures at this point.
Yeah.
To me, what you guys just said is exactly what scares me. And it's funny because, you know, I talk about this stuff a lot, and everybody in the media is like, yes, NIL is so good for the players, where it's like it's what they've deserved all the time. And it's like, yeah, but for how many of them? It's going to be it's not going to be about equity. It's going to be inequity. There's going to be a lot of players making money. There's going to be certain teams that are going to make money. And there's going to be other people. I mean, listen, I'm happy for the gymnasts that can make a lot of money. I'm happy for the softball players can make a lot. I get that. Like, if they have a social media following that's a billion people and they can make money off that, great. I'm not opposed to it. What I don't like and what scares me is that if a quarterback's making $1 million and hasn't even played yet at a school. I mean, if the recruiting advantages were already huge, I mean, I'm just so scared of what it's going to do to recruiting. Now, people say it may help schools like USC and UCLA because they're in LA. We'll see. I don't know, but I'm just not – I always say this, like, people are like, what's the problem? I'm like, yeah, when has money ever caused a problem? Like, ever. Like, it's like almost like you guys don't think this is going to be an issue at some point. I just feel like we're going to need some rules, and I know there's people out there that think we need no rules. Just let it happen, and we'll go with it. I wish I could go forward 5 years and see where we're at, but the Miami thing scares the heck out of me. When boosters can just say, hey, we're going to give everybody on their team $500 a month if they do this on whatever. I'm like, that just – I'm all for the players. I really am. But I also love college football and what it's done for hundreds of thousands of athletes over the years that have gotten degrees and great jobs and had kids that have gone to college. There's so much that has been good that I don't want to lose that. I don't know if that makes sense to you guys. Like, I just am afraid that there's going to be, like with everything else, unintended consequences to what's going to happen. Yes, a few people are going to benefit, but I'm wondering how many schools are going to really suffer from this and what college football is going to look like down the road.
Obviously we're here in Utah. We talk to people that cover the teams in Los Angeles and UCLA and so, but we're not in the middle of it. But every now and then you hear things like UCLA doesn't support its athletic programs or its football programs like perhaps they should. Is there a validity to that, that perhaps the university isn't as all in on athletics as they should be? Or is that just stuff that floats around from time to time?
So I'll try not to make this too long of an answer. We did have a time when I think the athletic department could have done a better job. When we had Cherry Donahue as our coach, and you know, he just recently passed. Yeah. And you know, we loved the guy, but he was so good for that school. But I think his salary was like $450,000 a year, and at the time it was like he was the highest state employee, highest paid state employee. I mean, what's happened in this game, it's just everything's changed so much. And you know, our locker room was great, but it was absolutely a piece of crud compared to what they have now. So UCLA, it took them a while, but they had to adjust with the times. They had to really start paying assistant coaches more money. They had to build a new facility. They had to kind of buy into the modern era of college sports or you get left behind. And it may have taken UCLA a little bit longer than it should have, but it's happened, you guys. The facilities okay. that UCLA have is amazing. The assistant coaching salaries are solid. We don't have as many, you know, coaches after one good year fleeing for better opportunities. There's a lot of support for the program, and the players that are going there right now absolutely love it. They love everything that's going on. Martin Jarmond, our new athletic director, is a young, vibrant, energetic, all over social media. The guy's got so much energy. He's just a great person to talk to. He's good for the school. Yeah, we lost some money going from Under Armour to Nike and Jumpman, but that's a huge move for the program. And I think everybody's excited about that. So I think we're all in, you guys. The basketball team, basketball and football feed off of each other. And, you know, when I was at UCLA, UCLA won their last national championship in basketball in 1995. That was my senior year. And I promise you, we all fed off each other. We all absolutely just – all the sports that we're doing well, we fed off each other. And I think that can happen at UCLA right now as well.
How do you like their out-of-conference schedule? A couple of Mountain West Conference teams and then one of those big dogs at home.
UCLA has never shied away from big games. I mean, it's one thing I've always prided myself on. And it's a bummer. And Chip Kelly said this from day one when – you know, we've had a top 10 schedule. I don't know what our strength of schedule is this year, but it's probably pretty high because we play Washington and Oregon in the north. But, you know, and LSU is coming to the Rose Bowl. A lot of home games, 7. I just think this is the way it's supposed to be. I mean, every year I played at UCLA, we played in Michigan, we played in Nebraska, we played at Tennessee. We always, and sometimes we play, you know, 2 of them in the same non-conference schedule. And it is what it is. I hope we're not sleeping on, and I know the team and the staff aren't, but Hawaii and Fresno State. They're solid programs, and we've learned in the era of going to play teams like, you know, Cincinnati and some of the teams we played in the past, San Diego State, you know, when these teams are winning 10 games a year, you know, they're not easy outs. And so, you know, UCLA's got to show up. We play week zero against Hawaii, and I hope the team really, you know, comes out and plays well, because LSU is limping after last year and all the stuff that's been going on. But I have a feeling Ed Orgeron, you know, he didn't stop recruiting. He's still bringing in great athletes. They're going to bring a good team into the Rose Bowl. So that those first couple of weeks, you know, at Hawaii and then LSU are going to tell a lot for what we're going to see from this UCLA football team in the upcoming season.
We've seen a really interesting trend here in Utah where so many potential seniors, well, I guess there weren't a ton of potential seniors, but a lot of potential draft picks, and then the super seniors and everything that the NCAA has done. How much is UCLA impacted by that? Returning talent that would have graduated, would have been out of eligibility that are coming back.
Yeah, it's huge. I mean, I mentioned Quantrez Knight earlier. You know, he could have left. He had a really good year last year. I think he's an NFL talent. And he's getting his master's. He wants to finish. He loves his team. I love it. I mean, I look at, you know, players that maybe had opportunities to leave and came back. And, you know, not to spread this out too much, you guys, but the one of the positives with the NIL news, because, you know, there's always good and bad with everything. You know, it's hard to come up with a perfect way of doing anything. But UCLA just had two basketball players decide to forego the NBA draft and come back and help win a national championship at UCLA. I have a feeling that the NIL was a part of that, because now instead of going and risking, you know, maybe not making it or trying to make a little bit money or whatever, you can come back and make money and kind of feed off of your, like, you know, Juzang for UCLA had such a good year last year. You know, he gets to come back and now he's a big name. Maybe he can benefit off that and still be in college and help his team and finish off his degree and all that good stuff. So, I think it is a big deal. We only had two players, Odighizuwa and Felton, leave for the NFL last year, and they were both drafted. And I expect them to go on and have great careers. But we had other players that had choices to make, but they all wanted to come back. And not to mention that, you guys, the transfer portal, UCLA has been great at that. We have a running back in Zach Charbonnet from Michigan, that if you look at him and Britton Brown, we're going to be a power running team this year. We're going to have dudes that can actually absolutely kill it. We have a kid in Denmark Heath, who's a linebacker from Notre Dame, who I saw in spring, who looks awesome. I mean, he just is such a good player. We're bringing in kids from big time schools. We have a linebacker that we got from Alabama. We have players that are coming from big time programs, and they're good players. They're not just guys that were mistakes. They're good players. They want to be at UCLA. So whether it's super seniors, whether it's, you know, graduate transfers or just transfers, I mean, we've done really, really well. And that's why I'm so excited, because UCLA has depth. I mean, you guys all know that the best teams in the country, they don't always win because their starting lineups are great. They win because their second string, third string sometimes could start for most other schools. They're just so deep and they can handle. We've seen it. You know, Alabama loses a quarterback, so what? Put the next guy in, and he's going to be great. We've seen it at some of these schools. So I fully expect UCLA to have the depth that it takes to compete with some of the better programs like Utah. I mean, you know, you go to Utah, you get beat up. I mean, I've watched players, you know, drop in Utah games like, hey, man, who's playing right now? Well, now I'm going to know, because the second and third string guys are guys that have seen the field and they're good players. So I think we're better equipped for the gauntlet that is the Pac-12.
Hey, we really appreciate this. It's been a fun conversation. We kept you way too long, but thanks for the insight, and look forward to seeing that Utah-UCLA game a little later in the year.
You guys, I cannot wait. I just am so pumped. I love the Pac-12 too, you guys, so let's hope that we make some noise and can shut the rest of the country up from talking smack on this conference, because it is a great conference with a great history.
Love it. Absolutely.
Very
love
important
it.
They do it this year, man, for sure.
Thanks, yeah. Wayne.
Thanks, guys.
Wayne Cook, UCLA sideline reporter, also hosts a podcast for Learfield IMG called College Sports Now.